Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
And I'd like to invite you to open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How many people have a hard time getting out the door when you got to go somewhere? Hands up if you have a hard time getting out the door. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I got to remember this. And typically for me, it's one trip out to about the laundry room garage area, then back in for the thing I can't remember, then out to the car, into the car, then back into the house. Or my wife's over here going, you call me. But usually with her, maybe only two trips back and forth. I just have a hard time getting out of the house. I have a hard time when I'm at work. I can't remember to bring everything home. It just takes me two or three times to get focused. And it seems like there's a lot of things coming in rapid succession. Paul is having a hard time getting out the door at the end of 1 Thessalonians. And so he skips the paragraphs and he skips the sentences and he piles into all of this, a ton of, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And so because all scripture is God-breathed, the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul to give us this content in this way. The title of this message is Final Hope Essentials. Final Hope Essentials, four kind of headings to take us through these verses. If you're ready to jump into God's Word, say jump. First one, starting in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, call this Hope for Our Church Leaders, Hope for Our Church Leaders, Esteem. And I can assure you I would never presume to preach upon myself or upon the role of the elders and pastors in our church, except that it is in God's Word. So here it comes. Paul says to the Thessalonians, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, just to maybe comment on that in a summarial way, can I just say that the best and the worst of Christianity is in the church. The best and worst of Christianity is in the church members. The best and worst of Christianity is in the church leaders. My greatest regrets as a pastor for more than 30 years are the errors in judgment and the things I wish I could do again. And my greatest joys over that same period of time are the things that God somehow seemed to bless in spite of us. They are the things about which we have the greatest joy and satisfaction. This verse is about ways, listen, this verse is about ways that God can bless your life because of your church and because of your church leaders. I want to be gentle here with you, especially because I love his gentleness. Notice, Paul could have commanded them in the Lord. If you agree that he could have, say he could have. But notice he says, I'm asking you, and I love the gentleness of that. And would you be open to the possibility that maybe you would have a deeper and fuller experience in Christ if you did more of what this text asks you to do and did less of what it enjoins you not to? Would you consider that with me for a minute? And let's just look at it a phrase at a time. Notice, first of all, that this subject matters. How we relate to our church, how we relate to our church leaders, it matters, okay? And I realize that religion is man-made. Turn to your neighbor and say, religion is man-made. All right? And a lot of churches are religious, but the church of Jesus Christ is not man-made. And it better not be religious. You know, a bunch of rules and people, you know, imagining how God might be pleased. We have the Word of God. We have the truth of God, and the church, the Bible says, is the ground and pillar of the truth. And notice this subject is mentioned in almost every epistle. If there's a problem in the New Testament, it's usually up to the church leaders to handle it and to handle it this way. We're told how to handle it. If there's a problem, it might be the church members in some instances and not the leaders, and we're told how to handle that. All of that's in Scripture. Now, notice first of all, our role as church leaders, speaking primarily to pastors, or the term pastor, elder, bishop, is all used synonymously in Scripture. And so we don't make a huge distinction. We use the term pastor to describe elders who work here, all right? And whether they're on the board or not, there's no boards in the Bible, just the leaders of the church who are the elders or the pastors. Now, notice our role. First of all, he says in the text, respect those who labor among you. Ministry is great effort. And I can tell you, when I come to the month of June, I am exhausted. I said to my father a week ago, I am emotionally about as encouraged as I remember being, maybe even in the last 6 or 7 years. But I am more physically tired from the last 11 months of ministry than I remember ever being. The New American Standard translates this phrase, those who labor among you, those who diligently labor. Remember in chapter 2, verse 9, where he said, remember, brothers, our labor and toil, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. So our role to labor among you, and then notice our role to admonish you. The word pneumonish there is from the word noutheteo, from which we get the word nouthetic counseling, which means biblical counseling. And one of our responsibilities, listen, is to shape your mind or to shape your thinking with the Word of God. I'm trying to do that right now. I'm trying to shape the way you think about the leaders of your church. And I'm using the Word of God to do it. I'm trying to admonish you in that regard. So our role, labor among you, admonish you, and then notice that phrase, those who are over you in the Lord. Not entirely sure about that translation. It means literally those who stand before you. And it's the idea that the leaders of our church are presiding with authority to bring verdicts. But then notice, of course, in the Lord, so that any church leader worth their responsibility understands that they account to the Lord, that the role that they have is given to them from the Lord, and that they will answer to the Lord for how they use that. So pray for our church elders, pray for our pastors and those who lead ministries in our church. So that's our role. Now your role, ready? Your job is to notice first, see it right there in the text, to respect. Now that's not a, if you feel like it, if you want to, it's a command. New American Standard says there to appreciate. It's the idea of full knowledge based on experience. It's a fully complex term, but your responsibility is to appreciate, to respect, to support, we might say, those in leadership of our church. Secondly, notice there, I'm getting this right out of the Bible. What's the next one? We're to, see it? To esteem them very highly. That's interesting. The word there, highly, means beyond all measure. To think of them with deference, to think of them with respect, to have a high opinion of the people who lead our church. And if you're wondering if I feel uncomfortable teaching these things, be assured that I do, but not nearly so uncomfortable if I skirted over them. And then notice this, I love this, to respect them, to esteem them highly. And then you say, I don't know. I see all their flaws. Well, then love can get you the rest of the way. Notice it there, to esteem them highly, very highly in love. And then notice, do it because of their work. Do it because of their work. I love what it says in Hebrews 13. about the leaders of your church. It says, let them serve you with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And how many churches in America have lost their pastor because they didn't love their pastors? 98% of people problems that church leaders have to deal with are these two things. Here they are. 90. If we could get these two out, we'd have a lot of things solved. Number one, people who don't get their way. People who don't get their way. Man, the problems that could be taken out of church work. If we could just take all the problems from how people react when they don't get their way. And secondly, people who think they know, but don't really know their church leaders. Oh, they heard something, they thought something, they misunderstood something, and they form a conclusion, sometimes a harsh conclusion, but they don't really know. You know, the different years, the different seasons that our church has gone through, I've always taken great comfort in the fact that the people who seemed in seasons to struggle were always the people that didn't really know. It was never the people that knew. It was never the people that were in the meetings. It was never the staff who lead the church. It was always the people who heard something somewhere in the back alley of stupidity and decided that that was better than what their leaders had told them. I like that phrase, the back alleys of stupidity. I believe the Holy Spirit led me to that phrase. It's not in my notes. And why is this so important? Well, if you have a group of spiritual leaders over you that love you and are seeking to be faithful to the Lord and to His word and to you, you have a great gift. And many people around the world today don't have that. And many of us can think of a time in our lives when we didn't have that. So the next time some jackwagon jumps up and decides to hijack your affection for your church, you might want to just really think through where that's going exactly, because it's a hard thing to find. And this beautiful thing that God is growing between us is something to protect and treasure. And I want to do my part, and I can speak on behalf of our elders and pastors and say they want to do their part. And if you would just redouble your efforts to do your part, we have a lot to look forward to, don't we? And there's such hope in that. What God hasn't done yet, what He hasn't done in me and what He hasn't done in you, but here we are together going after it again. How blessed we really are. So hope for our church leaders, and then hope for each other. Notice in verse 14 and 15. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. When Satan wants to destroy a Bible church, this is a Bible church, hold up your Bibles, come on and see Bibles, all Bibles, I'll even let you hold up electronic Bibles. I mean, I love you, I gotta say I love you. I'm not super fired up about your Bible, but I love you. And I'm just kidding, I get sidetracked. Come on, hold it up and let me see it. On all of our campuses, do it. All right, now just look around. Look around the room while they're held up. Just look at all the Bibles in the room. Now, this is a Bible church, yo. If there's a problem in a Bible church, it's generally not gonna be a doctrinal problem. Because if I start saying some whack stuff up here, I've been teaching you for years, y'all are gonna storm the stage. He can't say that no more, that's not in the Bible. Right? I agree. And I'm always telling you, check the Bible and see. So this isn't going to go south over a doctrinal issue. That hardly ever happens. And in a Bible church where we're serious about holiness and serious about the Lord, most Bible churches don't struggle over moral issues, thank God. They don't struggle over impropriety or even irresponsibility. Most Bible churches go down relationally, over striving with one another, over relational kinds of issues. And this was true in the New Testament. Paul had to tell two ladies in Philippi, in Philippians 4, he says, Yodia and Syntyche, get on the same page, be of the same mind. It's in the Bible. That got into the Bible.
okay? In Galatia, Paul told the Galatians they had racial prejudice toward one another. They were judging people from different racial backgrounds. Everyone say evil.
Evil.
That was in the church in Galatia. In Corinth, they were judging people because they had different gifts. And some people were like, my gift's better than your gift. And he had to write this whole thing about all the gifts are the same. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We're all one body. There's only a head, Jesus Christ. None of us are the head. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not the head. Right? Jesus Christ is the head. Amen? Jesus Christ is the head of our church. And the guy behind the pulpit is not better than the guy at the piano. It's not better than the person ushering. We're all one in Christ. And Jesus said, by this all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13. Now, the shocking thing about that is you'd think that the thing that would be most important to our neighbors who need the Lord, you'd think the most important thing would be how we love them. But that isn't the most important thing, how we love lost people. The most important thing is how we love each other. That's the most important thing. Because the people that don't know the Lord, they're kind of looking in from the outside and they're like, I don't know, do I want to be part of that thing? Do they really have a thing with each other? I said to you a few weeks ago, the biggest problem in the church is that Christians make a thing that isn't a thing, and then before they know it, they don't have a thing. That's the thing. The thing I'm talking about. I can't figure out how to end this. You see what I'm saying? And Jesus says the thing is how you love each other. And if you lose track of the thing and think that something else is the thing that isn't the thing, then you lose the thing, and then lost people don't want your thing because they say it's nothing. Thus says the Lord. Okay? All right? You with me on that? So let's keep our thing, right? The main thing is that the main thing remains the main thing. And the main thing is we love each other. And God's growing us. That's why he says in the text, look at the different categories he goes through. He says, admonish the idle. The word translated there, idle, is actually a difficult word to translate. New American Standard says unruly. It's actually a military term that means marching out of rank or out of step with the rest. And the whole church is going forward like this, and some guy's over here, you know. And it's like, that guy right there, admonish him. He's like, bro, but what's really interesting is the word there is I told you about a couple of weeks ago, it's the same word from which we get the Holy Spirit. Parakletos, it's like to speak to the side. It's not like, get back in line. It's not like that. It's like, come on, bro. We're trying to get something done here. Can't we all kind of fold in together and work together? And it's so tender and gentle. I love that. I'll never understand a few people or a few families or a few small groups who make the decision to get out of step with their church. I'll never get that. Somehow they lose sight of the higher good. And so I'm thankful to be saying this in good times on a sunny day. But tuck these things away because no doubt you'll need them again. I'm just going to give you a couple of really practical things here. First of all, watch your words. Be very, very careful what you say. I can't believe the things that people say. And most often they do not know what they are talking about. Secondly, ignore bitter people. If you're dealing with somebody who's so bitter, why are you bitter? Hebrews says that a bitter spirit defiles many. Bitter people are dangerous people. Stay away from bitter people. They're resisting what God is allowing in their life, and they're going to defile everybody who comes in contact with them. I'm not going to be able to stand up here and say, hey, everybody, Steve's bitter. Stay away from him. Okay? You don't want me to do that. That's going to put bigger things at risk. But today, on a good day, I want you to hear me. Watch your mouth. Ignore bitter people. This should help. Follow the facts, not the factions. Follow the facts, not the factions. And then this. The word there, unruly, means only one kind of people that hurt our hope. But there's other kind of people that make hoping hard. Notice the list he gives here. Not just admonish the idle, but encourage the faint-hearted. That means literally the small-souled. They're fearful, and they don't like change, and they struggle to trust. And they're hurting, and they're struggling. Now, there are faint-hearted people in our church, and we need to help them and encourage them and kind of, in that sense, lift them. And that's why he says, help the weak. These are the ones struggling with sin, struggling with faith. And helping them means lift them up. Now, across our church and across all of our campuses this weekend, you have to know that in your section, in your row, there are people that are struggling with their faith. And you're singing your faiths off, and they're just kind of amazed that they're even here today. And we love those people. And we want to help them and encourage them and lift them. We're not judging you because you're struggling with your faith. And we're not upset that you're having a hard season. And you don't have to perform for us or act like you have it all together or hide your doubts or your fears. Everybody say you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Listen, we all fall in many ways. And none of us have arrived. Notice this last phrase, I love it. Be patient with all. Be patient with all. Nobody in this church has arrived. Nobody in this church has it all together. You don't have it all together, and you for sure don't. You're doing good. He's in my small group. I'm just messing him up, but nobody here has it all together. Nobody here has it all figured out. Nobody here doesn't have some hard days ahead. And church has to be a place where we are striving with all of our heart to be everything that God wants us to be, but loving one another and forbearing one another and persevering together. I thank God for the sanctifying impact of this church upon my life and upon my soul. I thank God for the faithful, loving people in this church who pray for me and stand with me and forbear with me. And here we are still, and we're going forward together, and we're growing in the Lord, and nobody has it all figured out, only Jesus. Everybody else is here to worship him. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's be patient with everyone. That's a big part of our hope. All right, hope because we're trying to respect and hold in high esteem our leaders, and hope because we're trying to encourage and bless. Listen, nobody here has struggled too long. Nobody here has fallen too much. Nobody here are we getting ready to give up on. Nobody, we're like, we already told her three times, forget it. No, 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 no. We love you. Come on, let's try again. Let's go forward together. Let's be patient with everyone. Is that right? And let's be patient with the people we brought to church today. And let's be patient on Father's Day because our dad maybe wasn't everything we thought he should be. You'll come to the place where you wish you could still call him. You're not going to have your dad forever. And if you still have your dad, call him and tell him you love him. He's calling, well, but my dad, I understand. I really do. You got to know that I have, there's not much that we haven't heard about. But I'm giving you good counsel here. When you're loving where it's hardest, you're most like your Savior. Now, this is a good opportunity. Let's hear these words again from God's word. Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, help us God, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. How's that sound? I say this to the staff all the time. Let's be good to each other. Something crazy happened on Thursday. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Are you kidding me? That's not done. And I said, look, don't even say anything right now. Our staff's tired. Let's just fix it. And we'll go forward and then maybe ask about it in July or something like that. I said, let's just be good to each other. People are tired right now, right? You got to pick your times, right? And let's just be good. I love that. Let's be good to each other and to everyone. Rejoice always. How's that going? Talk about an absolute badge of complete and total failure. Have you ever made it through a whole week like that? Rejoice always. And you get back to church and you're like, did it! Every single second this week. Hands up if you've got that done. That's a tall order. The word rejoice is verbal joy. When joy is in the heart, rejoicing is the summary of your actions. Rejoicing is joy expressed. I love that. What a great goal. Rejoice always. I don't think I can do that. This will help. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean forsake your kneel down concentrated prayer time. It just means when you're done with your kneel down out loud with a list prayer time, continue in that attitude of prayer and just be constantly in a place. I wrote it down this way. Constant prayer is proof of my awareness of God's nearness. Man, if the Lord was like right with you every second, wouldn't you talk to him frequently? Help me here, Lord. Give me wisdom, God. Help me now as I pick up the phone. Help me now, God, wouldn't you? But he is near and he is with you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. I don't know, I have an attitude of prayer sometimes in the morning, but I lose it sometimes when I get to work. Anybody? This will help. Give thanks in all circumstances. You wouldn't lose your sense of God's nearness if you gave thanks in all circumstances. I've talked in the past about going to thankfulness school and how elementary school is give thanks to the Lord for he's good. Everybody can do that. And how high school, college, that's kind of like here in Ephesians, in everything give thanks. So no matter what's happening, you can find something to be thankful for. The problem is that we're called to the graduate school and PhD work of Ephesians chapter 5, which says giving thanks to God at all times for all things. And when you come to see how the goodness of the Lord is displayed in everything, and even the thing that you thought was the worst, when you see God working it for your good, you learn to give thanks even for the awful, most difficult things, because by faith you believe God's going to do it again. He's going to show how good he is just again. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. You're like, who can do this? Not someone who isn't filled with the Spirit. So do not quench the Spirit. We talked about that here on one of our foundation weekends. Do not quench the Spirit. The idea of quenching there is the Holy Spirit is frequently referred to as a fire in the New Testament. Don't extinguish the fire. Don't stifle the fire. Don't retard the flame. Don't quench the Spirit. And if you don't, it'll be much easier to see what I have to be thankful for. And in seeing that, I'll sense the Lord's presence and continue in that attitude of prayer. And if I do that, I will find myself more consistently than I ever thought possible, rejoicing always. Do you see the connections? So, hope for our church leaders, esteem, hope for each other, encourage, hope in God. What I'm trying to say here is that this is how we engage. Now, there's a few more little exhortations here. Do not despise prophecies. Well, we studied in one of our foundation weekends about the more sure word of prophecy that you would do well to take heed to. And I don't believe that fresh revelation is in existence beyond the apostolic era. And so here we have really do not despise what's happening right now. Don't ever get to the place where you're indifferent about this. The need to sit under the proclamation of the word, to place yourself under the authority of the scriptures. Do not despise that or treat it lightly. And this is awesome. Look up here. So on the one hand, it's like when your preacher is laying down the word, don't ever let that be some casual thing for you. But then it's like, but always check to make sure that what he's saying is really from the Bible. That's the next part. See, isn't that, what a good balance. Just as the Spirit would inspire. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. And I'm sure there's a lot. Hold fast means to grip tightly and take it with you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure there's stuff every week in church that you're like, we can let that one go, Martha. You know, and we can let that go. I don't see that in the Bible. But that one, hang on to that. You know what I'm saying? And to be discerning like the Bereans in Acts 17, like the Thessalonians who received it as it was in truth, the word of God. Abstain from every form of evil. The word evil there means harmful, malignant, hurtful to you. Yes, moral, but in the context, probably most specifically, false teaching. Every form of malignant, false teaching, stay away from it. It matters. Don't read books by people who teach falsely. Don't watch television, don't listen to, don't learn from, don't think it's innocent. Abstain from every form of false teaching for your sake. So here's the last thing. Let me read these last verses to conclude 1 Thessalonians, hope for the future. And I just wrote the word enthusiasm. Now may the God, let's all stand together. Thank you, loved ones. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers. Notice it doesn't say sisters there, with a holy kiss. Just want to make sure there's a good boundary there. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.